Hello and welcome to GCSE Economics Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're tackling one of the most important skills for OCR GCSE Economics, applying economic concepts to real-world scenarios. This is where theory meets practice, and it's absolutely crucial for earning those top marks. Now, you might be brilliant at memorizing definitions and drawing perfect supply and demand curves, but here's the thing. OCR examiners aren't just looking for textbook knowledge. They want to see you take those economic concepts and apply them to specific, real-world situations. That's where AO2 application comes in, and it makes up 35% of your marks. So if you want to hit those top grades, you need to master this skill. In the next 10 minutes, we'll cover the core framework for economic analysis, walk through how to tackle those tricky data response questions, highlight the most common mistakes candidates make, and finish with a quick-fire quiz to test your understanding. Let's dive in. Core concepts. 5 minutes. Right. Let's start with the golden rule of application. Always link theory to the specific scenario in the question. Generic answers like prices will go up or demand will increase won't cut it. You need to say the price of electric vehicles will rise or demand for streaming services will increase. Specificity is key. The OCR specification requires you to use a 3-stage analytical framework. Think of it as cause, transmission mechanism, and consequence. Let me break that down. First, identify the cause, the economic stimulus or trigger. This could be a government policy like a tax cut, a change in consumer income, or an external shock like rising oil prices. You need to clearly state what's happening in the scenario. Second, explain the transmission mechanism. How does the economy respond? This is where you show your economic reasoning. For example, if the government cuts income tax, disposable income rises. Higher disposable income leads to increased consumer spending, which shifts aggregate demand to the right. This is the chain of reasoning that examiners are looking for. Third, state the consequence, the final impact on key economic indicators. Will GDP grow? Will unemployment fall? Will inflation rise? And here's the crucial bit. You must evaluate the magnitude and significance of this impact using evidence from the data provided. Now let's talk about one of the biggest mistakes candidates make, confusing movements along a curve with shifts of the curve. Listen carefully because this trips up so many students. If the price of a good changes and nothing else changes, you get a movement along the demand or supply curve. For example, if the price of cinema tickets rises from £8 to £12, quantity demanded falls, that's a movement along the demand curve. But if a non-price factor changes, like consumer income, tastes, or the price of substitutes, the entire curve shifts. For instance, if a recession reduces household income, the demand curve for luxury cars shifts left. The whole curve moves, not just a point on it. Here's a memory hook. Price equals slide, non-price equals shift. If price changes, you slide along the curve. If anything else changes, the whole curve shifts. Another critical distinction: inflation versus disinflation versus deflation. Students constantly mix these up, so let's nail it down. Inflation means prices are rising. The inflation rate is positive, say 4% per year. Disinflation means prices are still rising, but at a slower rate. The inflation rate is falling from 4% to 2%, for example, but it's still positive. Prices are still going up, just more slowly. Deflation means prices are actually falling. The inflation rate is negative, say minus 1%. This is rare and often signals serious economic problems. The key error: thinking disinflation means prices are falling. It doesn't. Disinflation is a slowdown in the rate of price increases, not a fall in prices. Remember, disinflation is not deflation. Now, let's talk about using data. OCR loves giving you charts, tables, and extracts, and you must use them to support your arguments. Don't just describe the data, analyze it. For example, if a table shows that UK inflation rose from 2% in 2020 to 9% in 2022, don't just say inflation increased. Say UK inflation rose significantly from 2% to 9% between 2020 and 2022, a 7 percentage point increase, which represents a more than 4-fold rise in the rate of price increases. That's application. You're using specific figures and showing you understand their significance. Examiners award marks for quoting data and then explaining what it means in the context of the question. Always ask yourself, what does this number tell us about the economic situation? Exam tips and common mistakes. 2 minutes. Right, let's move on to exam technique. For those crucial six-mark analyze questions, you need two distinct developed chains of reasoning. That means two separate points, each fully explained using the cause-transmission-consequence framework. And here's something students often get wrong. Don't write a conclusion for an analyze question. Save conclusions for evaluate or discuss questions. For analysis, just develop your two chains of reasoning and stop. For evaluation questions, use the it depends on approach. Examiners love this because it shows sophisticated thinking. For example, the impact of a minimum wage increase on unemployment depends on the elasticity of demand for labor. If demand is inelastic, job losses will be minimal. However, if demand is elastic, unemployment could rise significantly. Other great it depends on factors include time lags, short run versus long run effects, magnitude, how big is the change, and the specific market structure, is it competitive or monopolistic? In calculation questions, always show you're working. Even if your final answer is wrong, you can still earn method marks. Write out the formula, substitute in the numbers, and show each step clearly. Finally, avoid generic textbook responses. If the question is about the market for smartphones, don't just talk about goods or products, specifically mention smartphones. If it's about the UK housing market, reference house prices, mortgages, and property. The more specific you are to the scenario, the more AO2 marks you'll earn. Quickfire, recall, quiz. 1 minute. All right, time to test yourself. I'll ask a question, pause for a moment, and then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What are the three stages of the economic analysis framework? Answer: cause, transmission mechanism, and consequence. Question 2. If the price of coffee rises and quantity demanded falls, is this a movement along or a shift of the demand curve? Answer: a movement along the demand curve. Question 3. What's the difference between disinflation and deflation? Answer: disinflation is when prices are still rising but at a slower rate. Deflation is when prices are actually falling. Question 4. What percentage of OCR GCSE economics marks come from AO2 application? Answer: 35%. Question 5. For a 6-mark analyze question, should you write a conclusion? Answer: no. Just provide two developed chains of reasoning. Summary and sign off 1 minute. Brilliant. Let's wrap up. Today we've covered the essential skill of applying economic concepts to real-world scenarios. Remember, always link theory to the specific context in the question. Use the three-stage framework: cause, transmission mechanism, consequence. Distinguish between movements along curves and shifts of curves. Don't confuse disinflation with deflation, and always use data from the sources to support your arguments with specific figures. The key to mastering application is practice. Work through past papers, analyze the mark schemes, and see how examiners reward specific, contextualized responses. The more you practice linking theory to real-world scenarios, the more natural it will become. Thank you so much for listening to GCSE Economics Essentials. Keep practicing, stay focused on the specifics, and you'll ace those application questions. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you next time.